Test 1, 2. Test 2, 3, 4. Test 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Test 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'm gonna step back and check the other mic. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Test 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, good. Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Just a that might be just a hair hot. Test 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay. Okay. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. I'm Rabbi Joe. Welcome, folks online, watching us on TV. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, and we are also for Zion Sake Ministries. We are a Messianic Jewish ministry, and I'm Rabbi Joe Bell, and this is my companion in worship is Mr. Anthony Cody here today to my left, and we welcome everybody. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to get underway. Are you starting with okay?
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Or Abisimcha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Or Abisimcha, Or Abisimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zeh Yisrael, Or Abisimcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha. This day for Israel, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy, Sabbath of Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy, Sabbath of his rest, Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. We can do better than that. Come on.
Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here to worship the Lord, right?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. the blessing of the Messiah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu et derech ha-Yeshua b'Mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Matovu, O Halecha Yaakov, Mishkenotecha Israel, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel.
House where you dwell and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Okay, the Vishamru.
Vishamru v'nei Israel et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Israel et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam berit olam. B'nei, O B'nei, B'nei Israel, B'nei Israel, Ot Hili Lolam. Vishamru, B'nei Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledorotam Berit Olam. Kisheshet Yamim, Asa Adonai, Shemayim v'yet haaretz. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shavi shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. Vishamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat la-sod et ha-shabbat le-dorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen. Great Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem.
Let's bow our heads and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, your word says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love thee. And so we pray, Lord, for the peace of Jerusalem and all Kol Yisrael, all Israel, Lord. We pray especially with the threats of Iran and Hezbollah toward Israel right now as they bully a smaller country because they can't really get us, so they threaten Israel. And who's done nothing to them, Lord. So we pray, Lord, for shalom, for peace in Israel, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you remove the blinders, as it says in 2 Corinthians I'm not sure which chapter it is. It's 1-4, but I know it's in there. It says, when they read the New Testament, the veil is removed from their eyes. And so, Lord, I pray that they would hear the word of the New Testament and that the veil, the scales would fall from their eyes and they would see their Messiah, Lord. I pray that people would put signs up on the roads, just like we have road signs that we see as we're driving down the highway with scriptures, that they would see the New Testament and see the words of Yeshua, the words of the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the that the missiles and the rockets would fall in the fields in the desert. We pray that they would blow up on the launch pads. We pray, Lord, that as they're attacked, that they would fall in the sand and not kill anybody, Lord, or fall in the ocean and miss their targets. We pray, Lord, for the American Jewish people, Lord, that you would remove the blinders from their eyes as well. Remove the scales and send people like you did to me, Lord. Send people to share the gospel and to witness to their Jewish friends, Lord. Give them boldness, I pray, to share and give them wisdom what to share with their Jewish friends, Lord. Pray also, Lord, for the Messianic leaders, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna in Isaiah 22, the prideful spirit, the selfish spirit. And that you would bring in the spirit of Eliakim, the humble and meek and servant and fatherhood, spirit of fatherhood into our leadership, Lord. That if there be any pridefulness and self-seeking, power-hungry leaders, Lord, just remove them, Lord, and give us fathers, I pray, in our movement. Bless the rabbis today, Lord. Heal them. Heal them. Give them strength, meet their needs, Lord. You know the needs of all the congregations and the rabbis, Lord. I pray for them, and just bless them, Lord. Give them a word to feed the sheep, Lord. Give us all a good word to feed the sheep today. In Yeshua's name, Lord. And we pray for the congregations, Lord, the flocks, that you would help the sheep to stay within the sheep pen, Lord, because the wolves will get them when they jump over the fence, Lord. The wolves will get them. So help them to stay within the fence, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Anthony. What's next, Carol?
There'll be a new king.
Okay.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hands.
Of your hands,
you loved us so,
you sent your Son
to take our sin.
Our Father in heaven, is your name.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
maker of all
things,
ruling all the works of your
of your hands.
You loved us so.
You sent your Son
to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Please rise for the Shema.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol me'odecha, V'hayu ha-divarim ha-ele, asher nochim etzavcha hayom al levavecha, v'shinata ham levanecha, v'dibarta baham, v'lechtecha v'derech, v'shachpecha, v'kumecha, v'kasharta ham liot al yadecha, v'hayu letotafot bein einecha, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Amen. Next song is the oldest hymn, and you may be seated. This is the oldest hymn in the world. It's the oldest known hymn ever written. It's from Exodus 15. It's called Micha Mocha.
Micha Mocha. nor art thee, Lord. O say, Bele, O say, Bele. Who is like thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who
to that is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai Ein Kimasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim Umim Sheltecha Bechol Dor Vador Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Leolam Vahed Adonai Oz Niamo Yitain Adonai Varech Et Amo Bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord,
and there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom,
and your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Is it okay? Vayhi ben so Aharon vayomer Moshe kuma Adonai viyafutsu oivecha viyanusu misanecha mipanecha. Ki mitzion tetze Torah, ki mitzion tetze Torah, udevar Adonai miYerushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Le'amo Yisrael.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. People may wonder, why do we do Hebrew? And that is the language of our Savior. That's the language that I've been speaking is the language that he spoke when he walked among the earth. And so when you hear it, you're hearing the actual tongue that the Messiah would have spoken when he stood up in the synagogue and read the Torah and read the scrolls in his hometown in Nazareth, or any time when he was speaking to his disciples. He didn't speak Greek. He probably spoke it, but when he talked to his homeboys, he was talking in Hebrew. Amen. They didn't speak Greek. Those uneducated Galileans didn't speak Greek. Okay? And that's true. It says they were unlearned. It said these men are unlearned. And how do they preach with such knowledge? You know, that was later said after the resurrection. Aren't these men Galileans? You know. So anyway, we're going to continue with Anthony here. So, Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamorah, Baruch.
Leom Vaed.
Baruch Adonai Baruch Hilom Vaed.
Baruch Adonai
Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'na'atan lanu et torto.
Baruch atah Adonai, notein ma'torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us your Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you Mr. Anthony Cody.
Thank you. Thank y'all. Thank you. I appreciate that. Even though it's undeserved. But. Okay, today we've got the last parasha from Bereshit, which is Vayiki, Genesis 47 through 50. It's the end of the book. It's coming to a close. And the end of this book from the Torah ends with the message of love and forgiveness, which is interesting. You know, we started with creation, and we've met the patriarchs, the matriarchs, and now Israel, as we end this parasha today, they are in the land of Egypt, and they are becoming very complacent there. And we see today, you know, this love and forgiveness is related to Joseph and his brothers, relating to his brothers. You know, he tells them twice. He says, do not be afraid. And he repeats it, do not be afraid. He says, I am not all powerful, because they were concerned because of they had tricked Jacob in telling him that Joseph was dead, and they threw him in the pit. They took his coat of many colors, which was a coat of leadership and dominion, and they put blood on it. And Jacob thought he had lost his son, so he didn't have the 12 sons anymore if Joseph was deceased. So they're afraid that he may want to have some resentment toward them, but he reassures them that he is not going to harm them, that he loves them. You know, this last week's parasha and this parasha is unusual because if you had the Torah out, there's no separation between the two parashas. It's called satum, and it means the text is joined, but it reflects upon the Israelites at this particular time in the Torah. They have closed and sealed their eyes and their ears to what's going on around them. They're very complacent to be in Egypt. You know, there was a famine in the land of Cana, so they traveled down there to buy food, and that's how they reconnected with Joseph. But they are closing as the generations is passing, as we see today, it's a generational pass. They are closing their eyes and their ears to what they're seeing in Egypt, because Egypt is becoming concerned that we'll see later on that they have, that Israel is actually a nation there in Egypt. They have grown to large numbers. And as we close in this parasha, we see there is a challenge here today of succession. There's a challenge of how the fragile ideas from the Torah and in God's kingdom are going to be passed from that generation to the next generation, because they're in a foreign country. They're no longer in the promised land. They have moved down there. So the generations after generations are entrusted. Each time God has entrusted that legacy to a passing person, one person. You know, he gave it to Abraham, the covenant, and Abraham had, there was a decision to make. God doesn't always give the legacy or the anointing to the firstborn, even though that is Judaism, that the firstborn gets the lion's share of the inheritance. But in God's kingdom, he has made that a little different, because we see with Abraham, the covenant passed to Isaac and not Ishmael. He thought it would be Ishmael would receive the covenant of the eternal ownership of the land of Israel. But God said, no, my covenant is with Isaac and not Ishmael, because Ishmael was from the servant Hagar, which we see has eventually rolled down to what we would call the Islam today. And then Isaac, and when he had two sons, Esau was the first one born, but the anointing went to Jacob. instead of Esau, even though Esau was the first one born. That's where Jacob got the name Jacob. It means that he was a heel grabber. He was holding on to his brother's heel as they were both born, and he came out second. He was the number two. And we see with Jacob, he had 12 sons. So we see today as that is passing, the 12 sons along with Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And even there, when we see Jacob blessed them, normally the firstborn is blessed by the right hand, but Jacob crosses his hands and blesses Ephraim first. And Joseph, of course, tries to correct him because Jacob's elderly in age, but Jacob knew exactly what he was doing. He blessed Ephraim as the firstborn. And so it concludes, you know, the brothers take ownership of the legacy. You know, this is the covenant that God made with Abraham, and it's the covenant that's still in existence today. God's word does not change. God doesn't change his word. His word is eternal. And we see there that Israel became the nation. And we see as Jacob is passing from this life to the next, he calls the family together. You know, they recite the Shema, and he blesses them. He blesses the sons. You know, he had been in the land of Egypt 17 years, and when he died, they took him. He was 110. They took him back to the cave Malpekah. And if you remember some of the other teachings, that's the first cornerstone in the land of Israel was the cave of Malpekah. That's where the patriarchs and three of the matriarchs are born or were buried. And that was a purchase piece saying that the land of Israel is Jewish, that it belongs to the Jewish because they made the first cornerstone was there in the cave of Malpekah. And so, as I said, Joseph blessed, all of them are blessed by Jacob, and each one gets a special anointing, and he blesses all of them. And if you are familiar with it, I'll just read off what they were. He blessed Judah to be leaders and kings and rulers. The Levi was anointed to be the priests, which they are. Issachar was scholars. Zebulun was seafarers. Shimon, teachers. Gad were soldiers. Dan was judges. Asher was the olive grower. Reuben was rebuked because he had confused his father in marriage. He had went in and committed a sin against his father, and he was rebuked. That was Reuben. Naphtali was blessed as swift as a deer. Benjamin, ferocious as a wolf. And Joseph was blessed with beauty and fertility. And, you know, and it's interesting, you know, Joseph is taking back to the common area that he was born in. He wanted to be taken back there. They took Jacob back to Malpekah, but Joseph later, at the end of the Exodus, that was his request when he passed, that the fact that he would be taken back to the land of Israel and buried. And of course, if you know, later on we'll discuss that and where they actually take him back to the land of Israel when they do the Exodus at Passover. And just to close this morning, just a verse from the scripture that says, God, he told him, he said, God will remember you and will bring you up out of the land which I have given unto your Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's the covenant that's still in place today. It doesn't matter what piece of paper signed or what government says it's not true. God's covenant is in force today, and one day it will come into fruition. One day the Jewish people will all be back in Israel, and the Messiah will be there, and all of us will be there. Everyone will be there in Israel, and the covenant will be fulfilled. It will be the land of the Jewish people. Shabbat Shalom.
Vizod HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe, Lifnei Bnei Yisrael, Al Pi Adonai, Biyad Moshe.
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Amen.
It's Kahi loves him Eva Toteka Marusha De Rakeha De Reno
Wisdom is
the tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. You may be seated. We meant to miss the Torah processional today. Praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom. I wanted to share a couple things with you. First of all, I just want to tell you how God can use you. I went to the, I've got a lot to tell you. I just got back from the Bahamas, and I got back from a rabbi's conference, and I got back from the Mayo Clinic where I went for cancer treatment and checkup. So I got back 2 days ago, and, so it was quite a journey, and, let me begin with the Bahamas. We had, you know, a lot of people, kids were off, we had a vacation, and Dawn didn't have anything planned, and so she called one of these companies that gives you last-minute vacations, and so they sent us, they had an opening in a place called Freeport in the Bahamas. Well, I didn't remember that Freeport had just had a major hurricane 4 months ago, where the hurricane sat in one spot on the northern side of the island for 2 days. And it was basically a tsunami. The water went to the center of the island and flooded much of the island. Some of the higher ground didn't get water damage or wind damage, especially on the north side, but on the south side, I mean. But on the north side, it was just destroyed. The airport was destroyed. And as we were flying in, we could see entire villages that were erased from planet Earth. We could just see from the air the outlines where houses had been. We could see where driveways. 70 people. We're talking an island 90 miles long, 17 miles wide. 300 people are missing. 70 people are known dead. And 300 just disappeared. Nobody knows where they are. That's huge. Think about Bristol. About 45,000 people in Kingsport. Think about 370 people died, you know, in our area here, how that would affect us. And I got to tell you, these people were the most cheerful people, and they were in revival. Every church was packed. Every church was packed. I shared the Lord, and they shared with me, and I made so many friends down there and shared, just talked about the Lord every day, and not just casual stuff. I mean, deep, like stuff. This guy that drove us to the grocery store asked me about Job, and he started asking me about, you know, questions about who talks about Job, you know, and I said, well, you know, to understand Job, you have to understand that it was written in the time of Jacob. because Job was a contemporary of Jacob. If you look up the genealogy of Eliphaz the Temanite, who was one of Job's oppressors, he had three oppressors who were supposedly his friends who liked to criticize him. He, if you look up one of them, Eliphaz the Temanite, he lived in the time of Jacob. So Job actually dates back to the time of Jacob, which means it's before the Bible. It's before the Bible. Could somebody grab that for me that just fell? Job was written before the Bible. So we had some really interesting conversations, and I was just, I made so many friends down there. It was amazing. There were about, in the resort we went to, we hold about 600 people, there were about 15 people staying there. I mean, they needed us. 50% unemployment. You know, I've been in the Rotary Club. I was in the Rotary Club for about 12 years before I had to give it up. And because of my own health, I had to give up Rotary. But I've been a Rotarian. And this man, our cab driver, said, the Rotary Club down there, he said it wasn't Franklin Graham. Nothing wrong with Franklin Graham. But he said it wasn't Franklin Graham. It wasn't the government. It was the Rotary Club that helped rebuild his house. And I was so proud to be a Rotarian when he said that. And I videotaped him saying it. I'm going to share it with my Rotary friends because maybe they'll want to go down and help some more, because there's this, the reputation of the Rotary Club is so strong down there. It was precious to be there. I didn't swim. The doctors told me here, they said, you can't swim, you can't go in the water, you can't go in the sun. I said, Dadon, why do you want to go to the Bahamas? I can't go out in the sun, I can't go in the water. But she wanted to go, and it was okay. I rested, and it was good. And I recommend that you go. They need help. I can't do much for building, but I can bring tourist dollars. But if you do want to take a trip south, go to Freeport in the Bahamas. It's really a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place, and the people are lovely. Okay, let's move on from there. I went to the Rabbi's Conference, and I'll share some thoughts on that in my sermon. And then I went to the Mayo Clinic, where I received, somebody said to me on Facebook, they said, they reminded me of the 12 spies, and two of them brought back good reports, and 10 brought back bad report. I believe the report of the Lord is a good report, but the report I received wasn't so great. And it was just, you know, you're a little better than you were before you started 8 weeks of treatment, is basically what he said. But it wasn't a great report. And that's why I need you guys to help me and not cause me stress. I need to ask you to help me, lift my arms, strengthen me, and don't fight me. I'm speaking to the whole congregation. I do not need stress. You know, if you want me to be your rabbi and to be around, I need help. And that's all I'm asking. Work with me. Let's work together. Amen? Let's work together and build this congregation and not fight and not have strife, and support your leadership. Don't cause grief. That's my request, because I can't do it. My health won't permit it. Okay? That's how serious it is. Okay. Well, okay, moving along from there, I just want to share how God can use you if you're willing to be used and you're willing to be bold enough to talk about the Lord. Wherever you go, you never know how God's going to use you. So I was in the Social Security Administration about a year and a half ago, and I met a woman, and she wanted to write a book. And so somebody sent me this book about 3 months ago, and it's been sitting on my desk with these flyers in it, and honestly confronting God, how to confess your anger against God is the title of the book. How to confess your anger against God. It might be good for some people. Some people are angry with God, and they take it out on the rabbi. It's true. But anyway, I was in the Social Security office, and I didn't know. People send me books all the time. I didn't think twice about this book. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think twice about it. People send me books. I don't always read them. And I'm opening the front couple pages, and it says, thank you, Rabbi Joe, for your wisdom and direction. And I'm thinking to myself, Rabbi Joe? Who's that? And basically, she goes on to tell the story about how she met me at the Social Security Administration two years ago, in Bristol, Virginia. And she wanted to write a book, and I gave her advice on how to write a book, even though I'd never written one. And she took my advice and wrote the book, and she thanked me for inspiring her, our conversation. I don't know. I don't even remember everything I said. I don't even remember. I just remember talking to her, having a pleasant conversation with a nice Christian lady. And she acknowledgement. She says, thank you, Aunt Della, for your encouragement and inspiration. Thank you, Rabbi Joe, for your wisdom and direction. And she tells the story about how she met me at the Social Security office. And she wrote this book. She's in Arizona. And you never know. What's my point? Not to boast about that my name's in a book, but it's the point that how you never know how God's going to use you. You just never know how God's going to use you. And the book is called Honestly Confronting God, How to Confess Your Anger Against God. And I'm serious about that title. That's an awesome... I ought to order some copies of this book because... I'm going to order some copies of it because people don't realize a lot of times when they have anger, it could be in a marriage, it could be related to work, stress, life. You know, sometimes our dreams, Thoreau said, most men lead lives of quiet desperation. It's because their dreams don't come to pass, and they get older, they age, and they realize time is growing shorter, and they haven't accomplished what they'd set out to accomplish, and things that they'd hoped they would do, they don't realize may not happen. And so people get angry with God sometimes, but they take it out on the ones they love. Can I get an amen? Can I get a louder amen? People take out their frustrations in life, I'm not talking about anybody here, or just in general, I'm saying. People often take out their frustrations in life, whether it's work-related, family-related, dream-related. They take it out on the ones they love. And we're going to talk a little bit about family in my message today. Anthony touched on family in today's lesson. And last thing I want to say, there's a lot I could say about Iran. I might say something in my message today, but I want to continue on here. We still have some calendars. If you don't have a biblical calendar, and you know, in Luke 1, chapter 1, it tells that the angel Gabriel visited Mary in the sixth month. If you want to know when the sixth month was, it's not June in the biblical calendar. I'm not going to tell you when it is. You're going to have to get one to find out. We have several of these left. They go 16 months. They're beautiful art calendars from Israel. And they have artwork, paintings from a rabbi's wife in Israel. And they're all scenes from the Holy Land. And we got them shipped over here. And we have several left. There's some outside the door there. They're $18. If you take it, they're $20, and we ship it to you if you're watching on TV. Just let us know that you want a calendar, and you can contribute online to get one. And just say calendar, and give us your address, and we'll send it to you. So I want to let you know, we have calendars, and if you want to know, you know, oftentimes I'll read, like in Genesis, I think it's in chapter 9, when Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, it was in the seventh month, and it tells you the day, and you can actually look up the day in the seventh month, which is Tishrei, the day that Noah's Ark landed. You could know what day that is, you know, in your biblical calendar. It's really, really something else to be able to do that, and it also explains the feasts. Also want to tell you, we've received a shipment of anointing oil, fresh shipment of anointing oil, so if anybody needs oils, we haven't bought them in a couple years. So we also bought, several ladies asked for the frankincense or the myrrh hand cream, I think it was. So we do have that available, some here and some over in the fellowship hall. Just want to let you know that. Okay. All right. Any other announcements or praise reports? Yes, Aja. Wow. Praise God. Aja's leg is totally healed. It's taken 2 years. Psalm 140.
It is really a crucial time.
Yeah. Amen.
Psalm
143. And Psalm 143.
Was out, and God's always chasing him to the end. And he just, well, everyone
I'm going to talk about that today in my message.
Okay. I mean, Psalm 143.
Yeah. Arise with healing in his wings. Yes.
And then Matthew 14:36.
It's okay. You don't have to quote it. I'll just share the verse. Matthew 14:36. She's been saying those two scriptures every day for over 2 years, and God has healed her leg. Let me just quote what you said so the people can hear. Aja said, please read your Bibles and stay in the scriptures, because it's the only thing that's going to help you get through the days ahead, and it's the only thing that's going to bring healing to your body. And I'm paraphrasing her, but stay in the Word, continually be reading the Word of God, you know, find healing scriptures and devote yourself. Read them daily and quote them. Stand on them.
Over 2 years.
Praise God. Well, I'm right there with you, darling. I'm waiting for my healing because, you know, but I'm not going to get into that right now. So, praise God. Let's give glory to the Lord for healing Aja's leg. Amen. Amen. All right. Anybody, any other praise reports or announcements? Okay. Well, thank you all who participated while I was gone and Don was gone. Thank you for running for those who helped out and helped steer the ship. And I'm grateful for everybody who participated in keeping things going. And I'm not going to name names because I didn't see who did what. So I'm just gonna. I know that Anthony, you know, and is always was active, and Carol and Diane and I know William is always serving behind the scenes in many ways. You don't know. He's done the leaves in the yard quietly, and he comes and he's been vacuuming up the leaves as they've fallen off the trees, and you know, quietly doing work that people don't know. So thank you to all who serve and help keep our congregation going. We're going to take up our offering at this time, and let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for these tithes and offerings. Lord, we're grateful for your provision. Grateful, Lord, for your mercy and your love. I thank you for healing Aja, and I believe you're going to heal me too, Lord. I believe you're going to heal me, but I just have to wait for that day. And so just as she waited 2 years for her leg, we're just grateful. Thank you for that miracle. Healing is always a miracle. And thank you for your word. I so enjoyed reading the scriptures last night as I prepared this message that I'm about to give soon. So now bless the givers and bless the gift 100-fold. And we have a basket for the poor. If you'd like to contribute some spare change for the needy, we have a basket. And then the box there is for the congregation. Remember our building fund. I think we're down to about $73,000 for the building, to pay off this building. And so anyhow, in Yeshua's name, may God bless you as we give. Amen. Hey, Wendell, could you take the box to those ladies so they don't have to... The box is fine. Or a basket, either way, yeah. Praise the Lord. And folks, if you're watching online and you'd like to contribute, you can do so right there online. We have securely on PayPal, but if you want to be receipted, please give us your address. Please give us your address so we can receipt you. And thank you for those of you who give online. We're grateful. Hallelujah. That's the happy song. Okay. Test 1, 2. We're going to do some worship and then I'm going to preach, okay? Hey there, in the back. Are you our visiting Baptists? We have our Baptist friends, Fred and Martha, in the back. Just kidding. You know, when I go to Baptist churches and preach, the preachers are always telling the people tend to sit, for some reason, in the back of the church. Nothing against Baptists. But I always hear the preachers telling the people to move up, you know, and I don't know why that is. Maybe they're afraid of the preacher or they want to get to lunch. But anyway, every church has its little things. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you. A little higher. Turn it up, please. Turn it up, please. Monitors.
Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God. We offer up our lives as a living sacrifice. Purify us with your holy fire.
Holy fire.
You are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill.
More monitor, please.
Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. O Lord God of Abraham, God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God.
There is no other one like you.
Come now and fill this place. Be exalted in our praise. Let it be known today that you are God. You are the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy hill.
Here we come, Lord.
You are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will, O Lord God of Abraham.
For the Lord,
He is God. For the Lord,
He is God.
And He shall reign forevermore, evermore. For the Lord, for the Lord, He is God, and He shall reign forevermore.
You are
the Holy One, highly exalted One. We've come to worship at your holy You are the Holy One, highly exalted One, and we surrender to your sovereign will. O Lord God,
you are the
Holy One, highly exalted One.
We come to
worship at your holy hill.
You are the Holy One,
highly exalted One, and
How about sounding that shofar? Monitors, please.
Patiently for the Lord, kind and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing. Song. Long to sing this song. Long to sing this song. Long, how long, how long, how long. Set my feet upon a rock and made my footsteps firm. Many will see and fear. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing a new song. I will sing, sing. none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
Check the levels on the voices.
And I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you.
Sing it with me.
There is none like you. Touch my heart like you do,
and
I could search for all eternity long,
and find
there is none like you.
Oh,
I could search for all eternity.
Where I am strong in your presence.
touching your grace in the cleft of the rock. In your presence, O God, you are my firm foundation. I trust in you all day long. I am your child and your servant, and you are my strength and my song.
You're my song.
You're my song. Your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, O Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God, seeking your face, touching your grace, in the cleft of the rock, in your presence, O God, in your presence, 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 O God, in your presence, O God. In your presence, O God, I delight to be in your presence. There is fullness of joy in your presence. Fullness of joy, pleasure at your right hand. In your presence, here in your presence, in your presence, that's where I am strong, in your presence.
We're going to go to the table of the Lord. Get that real echo. Is the reverb on? Okay. Anyway, we're going to go to the table of the Lord. So if you're at home and you'd like to join us and you have some crackers or matzah or bread, some grape juice, manischewitz, whatever you have, you're welcome to join us. And so I'm going to step down. So this would be a good time to prepare if you'd like to join us as we go to the Lord's table. All right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Deborah, would you like to serve today? Okay. And Martha, would you like to come and serve? Come and show Mark. Deborah will show you what to do. It's my friend Martha, Mary's sister. Okay. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Bore Peri Hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch Atarnai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of death. O death, where is your sting? Hallelujah. We have the victory in through our Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. We call it the cup of redemption. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin." He also took the middle layer of three pieces of matzah, of unleavened bread, on every Passover table. He took the middle layer and he broke it. And he said, we Jews call it afikomen, or afikomen in Greek. Afikomen, he said, and he took that afikomen and he broke it and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. We invite all believers in the Messiah to come and partake. If you are a believer in the Son of God and you have a relationship with Him, if God has revealed His Son to you and you've received forgiveness through His blood, then we welcome you to come to the table of the Lord. That's all you have to do. You don't have to be a member here. You just have to be a member of His body. Amen? And so we welcome all. But if you don't, if you never met the Messiah and you'd like to meet Him today, I'm just going to ask that we bow our heads for a moment. The Bible says that He is the Son of God, that He came to die for your sins and mine. And amazingly, He rose from the dead on the third day. And that if you believe that He rose from the dead, and that He confess with your mouth that He is Lord, you shall be saved. John said, somebody said, I can't remember which verse that is. Forgive me. But I know it's in there. Anyhow, so I invite you to pray this prayer with me. If you'd like to meet the Messiah today and you're watching, or if you're here, if anybody you want to pray this prayer, or maybe you've fallen away from the Lord and you have let go of your first love and you've not been reading your Bible and you've not been walking with the Lord and you need to come back to Him, let's just raise your hand and indicate that you need to return to the Lord, and I'll pray with you. Okay? All right. So, folks at home, you can pray wherever you are, in your car,
wherever in your house, in your yard, wherever you're watching or listening. Just pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I have made many mistakes. I have messed up. And I have broken your laws. I have broken your ordinances and your commandments. Lord, I recognize that I need forgiveness. And I recognize that forgiveness comes through the blood of your Son. So, Lord, come into my heart. Holy Spirit, dwell in my heart. Come into my heart, Yeshua, and be my Savior. Forgive my sins today, right here, right now. Wash me. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. And put my name in your book of life forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeshua is his Hebrew name. Jesus is his English name. And if you're Spanish, it's Jesus. What's it in Italian? Does anybody know? Neither do I. Probably similar to Spanish, yeah. Jesus, something like that. Come as you're ready. Amen. The ladies will serve you.
Thank you.
always time for the happy song. Play it. Come on.
How you saved my soul.
Hallelujah. He is risen. Amen. In L'chaim, to life.
My heart is bursting, Lord, to tell of all you've done, of how you changed my life and wiped away the past. Oh, I want to shout it out from every rooftop scene. For now I know that God is for me, not against me. Oh, I can sing your ending songs. Oh, how you saved my soul. Well, I could dance a thousand miles because of your great love.
Josh.
Oh, everybody dance.
Yeah. Never a bad time for the happy song, right? You like the happy song?
Yes.
Fred, do you like the happy song? Fred likes it.
I like it.
Okay. Well, I had one other thing to tell you during announcements that was really cool. So I'm going to share it with you before I start my message. And I got a letter the other day from Lieutenant Governor, the office of the Lieutenant Governor, Speaker of the Senate, Rabbi Joe Bell. Dear Rabbi Bell, thank you for accepting our invitation to serve as Minister of the Day for the Tennessee State Senate. I'm not going to tell the date. The session will convene at 8:30 a.m. When you arrive, please come to the Lieutenant Governor's office located at 25. I'll just say it's in Nashville. And please plan to arrive 30 minutes before the scheduled time so that we may escort you to the Senate chamber where you will present a brief prayer to open the Senate session. We respectfully request that the prayer be in keeping with Senate Rule 19, which says it's got to be ecumenical. But what could be more ecumenical than a Jewish guy that believes in Jesus, right? Isn't that an honor? Praise the Lord. You know, I've always wanted to pray over the state. I live in Tennessee. I'd be honored to pray over the state of Virginia, too, but I don't think I'm going to get an invitation. I won't be holding my breath for that. Anyhow, so today's message, are we on, is Facebook on, Isaac? Okay, I want to say shalom, friends on Facebook. We're glad you're with us today. And I'm Rabbi Joe, and We welcome you, and I want to welcome our visitors today. We have some special guests with us today. Glenda Sykes, and she's a longtime friend of our ministry, and I haven't seen her in years, but we go way back. And would you introduce your friend for us? Gloria Wolf. Gloria, and where are you ladies from?
Lebanon.
Lebanon, Virginia. Amen. Let's give a big round of applause for Glenda and Gloria. Amen. It's good to see you. I'm glad you're okay, because I tried to call and the number was disconnected and I was concerned and I didn't know who to call. So it's good to know you're all right. Amen. I'm going to take this thing off because it keeps falling off. Josh, could you get that pillow for me, please? Thanks, buddy. That's my boy. Glenda, that's my youngest. And my big boy he's the one who set up they're both big boys, but the bigger one is the one who set up the camera. So anyway, today's message is holding it together under extreme pressure and maybe an Iran update. Holding it together under extreme pressure and maybe an Iran update. That's my message today. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your word, the truth of your word, and the wisdom and the blessing of your word. Your word is food. Your word is nourishment. Your word is life. And we thank you. I'm grateful for your word. And now bless this message. Bind the enemy. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see what you have for us today. In the name of Yeshua. Now, it's interesting that Anthony was talking about Joseph today, because the Parsha, the weekly, the lectionary in church language, but in Hebrew, the Parsha, the portion of Scripture this week, is the story of Joseph. And it's the part where Anthony talked about how when Jacob was dying, even though Joseph's brothers had lived, Joseph had said, "Guys, I love you. I love you. I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to hurt you. Take your little ones. Come and live in the land of Goshen. I'll take care of you. Everything's going to be okay." But then when their father was dying, they got scared again that he was going to kill them. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe Joseph. He could have killed them. Why would he go through all the trouble to save them, to take them, to bring their father back, to bring the brothers in? Why would he put them and take care of them all those years that Jacob lived, and they lived in the land of Goshen, in the finest land in Egypt? Amen. Why would he do it and hug them and welcome them into his house to eat at his table and care for them, and then all of a sudden kill them when the father died? They didn't trust him. He had forgiven them. They're the ones, remember, they're the ones that threw him in the pit and sold him into slavery, right? And they didn't trust him. And they were nervous at the end of their life that he was going to kill them, and they said at the end of their father's life, and they said it. And I didn't read that scripture when I wrote this, but listen up. If there's one group of people who know how to push buttons, get under each other's skin, expose wounds, speak hurtful things to without a second thought, and in many cases fight both verbally and or physically, it's families. Amen. For better or for worse, the body of Messiah is the family of God. We are the family of God. I'm going to say that again. If there's one group of people who know how to push buttons, get under each other's skin, expose wounds, speak hurtful things to each other without a second thought, stab each other in the back, and in many cases fight both verbally and physically, it's family. Amen? We are, for better or for worse, the body of Messiah is the family of God. And we do a great job emulating the world when it comes to pushing buttons, offending, speaking hurtful things, getting under each other's skin, yes, even fighting and stabbing each other in the back. Unfortunately, that is so true, and I was talking about that with Glenda at the beginning of the service. The only difference is we're supposed to forgive. God knows we're human and that we're gonna act human. We're gonna behave in human ways. Look at Joseph and his brothers. God was no surprise to God. Didn't catch him off guard that the brothers feared Joseph was gonna kill them. They deserved to be killed for what they did to him. But the fact is, and what they did to him was throw him in a pit, and they beat him, and they punched him, and they hurt him, and they left him cold and without food, and they, you know, for dead. They wanted to kill him. That's brotherly love. And but as believers, we have a call of our Savior to forgive. True forgiveness is what sets us apart from the world. Do you forgive people who have wronged you? Here's a simple test you can do to check your heart. Have you forgiven people who you feel have wronged you in the last month? In the last 3 months? In the last 6 months? Do you forgive people who've wronged you in the last 6 months? Do you still grumble about somebody who wronged you, hurt you, who offended you, or maybe hurt your pride? How about someone who hurt you in the last year? Are you still griping about them today? I know a woman. She was a friend. She's still a friend of mine. And let me tell you something. You can be a believer, and you can be 70 years old, and you can carry a grudge for 30 years, and still the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God can use a wounded, bitter, angry person that's a believer, that's a woman who helped lead me to the Lord, was hateful toward her family, and she was an angry woman, and God won't bless you. She was making $6 an hour at age 48, and she was living in on the borderline of poverty, and she was the worst employee I ever had, but she shared the gospel with me. And she was a Jewish person, but she said she was a Christian. And I said, how can you be Jewish and be Christian? And she said, then she asked me for Hanukkah and Christmas off, and she asked me for Easter and Passover off. And I said, you know, maybe she's not as dumb as I think she is. she was a little smarter than I thought. She wanted her cake and eat it too. But she was a most unhappy woman, and yet God used her to bring the gospel to me and to get me to read my Bible and learn the prophets. So my point is that even when someone is in sin, even when someone isn't walking with the Lord, they can still be used of God to reach somebody for the gospel. Amen? You can't judge somebody's ability to witness and to share just because they're not right with God. He can still use them. Samson is a good case of that. My, one day it hit me. Now, think about it. So my friend, this is another friend, told me, and this is somebody I talked to on the phone, she told me that she would complain. This was a couple years ago, and I would listen to her, and she would tell me about bitterness and anger and resentment towards ex-pastors and ex-husbands. And I never invited her to come to service, to come be with us, because she had so much resentment towards her previous pastors. I was afraid that she came here, it would ruin our relationship. So I said, I was happy, you know, for her to stay where she lived, and we'll just talk on the phone and be friends. Amen? And she's a woman of God, a believer, a child of God, but she has bitterness in her heart dating back over 30 years. 30 years against pastors, against her ex-husband, one or two ex-husbands, and she's holding on to unforgiveness. And again, coincidentally, living in poverty, living on the dole, not working, living in government housing, I find it interesting that people who don't forgive often don't get blessed. People who don't forgive, who hold on to bitterness and anger and focus on human beings. We war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness in high places. You people, I'm not your enemy, you're not my enemy, amen? And nobody, no person is our enemy, amen? We war not. God will use people to harm us. And the enemy, Satan, will use people to harm us, and God can use people to judge. He used the Babylonians to judge Israel. Somebody said to me, there's been a lot of fires. Have you noticed all the fires going on, the wildfires in California and in the West, out in the West, and now in Australia? Australia is burning. And I made the comment on one of the social media outlets. I said, we need to pray for them. Over half a billion animals have died in these fires in Australia. We need to pray for them. But I also asked the question, is this possible that judgment is really starting in the world? Because God said he's going to judge the world with fire. And somebody came back at me and said, these fires were started by humans. And I laughed. Didn't God use the Babylonians to judge the Israelites? Aren't they human? Didn't God use the Babylonians to judge the Israelites? The Midianites in Gideon's time? He used human beings to judge Israel. Didn't he use the Philistines to judge Saul? Amen? God uses human beings to bring judgment, or he can bring hellfire and brimstone, lightning and thunder and earthquakes. He can do it any way he wants. But he does use human beings. I didn't get into an argument. I just made my point. My. One day it hit me about this lady who was resentful for over 30 years, that she was in bondage to unforgiveness. Yeshua told us to forgive 70 times 7. In other words, to forgive so many times that you lose count. Forgiveness is the key to a successful marriage. In fact, forgiveness is one of the keys to a successful life. When you walk around resenting another person, harboring bitterness toward them, you make an idol out of them. The longer you allow the flame of your anger to burn, the more the fire grows from a small brush fire to a massive forest fire. I've seen such fires destroy families and congregations when they are not extinguished. Of course, it takes two willing parties to have true forgiveness, plus a healthy dose of the spirit of forgiveness. Proverbs 18:19 says, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city." And contentions are like the bars of a castle. Again, Proverbs 18:19, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle." So what do you do when your brother or sister is offended by you and you are ready to forgive them, but they're not ready to hear from you? What do you do when you're ready to let bygones be bygones, but they don't want anything to do with you? Answer, go to God, not to the offended person, unless you want to stir up a hornet's nest. If you go to someone who's offended with you and you try to make things right, you're just going to stir up a hornet's nest, and it's going to cause a fight, an argument, and you just can't go to somebody. There's got to be a right time. If they're carrying a grudge, it's got to be God's time. Do you understand? And you just can't expect to go to somebody and make it right. It doesn't work unless they're ready to forgive. And sometimes they're holding grudges for a long, long time. So what do? You go to God and you say, "God, I'm sorry. If I offended that person, please forgive me for any part that I played in it that harmed them or hurt them or was wrong. Forgive me for my part in it, even though they may have played a part. You can't worry about their part. You can only worry about yourself." Exactly right. Amen? So you ask God, "Forgive me for what I did," and then pray, "God, give me a chance to go to them and heal us." May happen, it may not. That's what Matthew 18 tells us to do. Go to your brother if he has aught against you. But honestly, I have found that unless someone is ready to let go of their anger or resentment, it's better to talk to God and ask his forgiveness for your part in the matter and to pray for reconciliation with your brother. A good example of this is when parents die and children are left to fight. Can you turn up my monitor, please? Children are left to fight over the scraps. Oh, my. I have seen the nicest people turn into animals over money and things. I've seen the nicest families just turn into wild dogs overnight when it comes to property and inheritance. It's horrible. You can be sure of one thing. If you are truly a bondservant of Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, then you are going to face rejection. You're going to suffer. I know a young man who began his ministry with high hopes. He was an ambitious young fellow, a dreamer, and very smart too. But I have found that in life, it's not how smart you are as much as who you know much of the time. This particular young man served some great men of God. He labored long and hard, and he bore much fruit in his ministry. He also made those men look good, those men he served.
Those men were his mentors, and even though he didn't get what he wanted from them, he did receive what he needed, which enabled him to go further into ministry. But the young man set his hopes on pleasing those men of God, from his first rabbi to the leader of a very large evangelistic ministry to the leader of an even greater ministry. He had favor, and God kept raising him up to serve great men of God. He was always serving leaders. In the end, though, after many years of laboring and building and serving great leaders, the young man was not so young anymore. He had helped his final mentor build a powerful ministry and change the nation of Israel for the better. Then he was fired. The young man who used to attend important meetings with famous pastors and rabbis, world leaders in the church and Messianic Judaism, now found himself marginalized, some might say thrown under the bus, or put out to pasture. They called him one of the young lions back in the day, but now they no longer called him at all. They all but forgot him. That young man was so awestruck the first time he walked into a room full of leaders, being one himself. He recently told me, while attending a leadership conference, that he had come to a point of simply, instead of seeing other leaders as wow, that's the famous so-and-so, he's come to the point where he now walks into a room and he sees the leaders as just people. Doesn't matter if they're famous, if they have a TV show, if they have millions of dollars, he sees them now as people. Praise the Lord. Frail human beings, subject to sin and failure, irregardless of money, fame, and success, he only saw people at that conference. No more thoughts of connections or doors opening, at least by men's hands. No, he had been stabbed in the back too many times to put his trust in men. That's not to say that God couldn't use people to open doors for my friend, but his expectation of men changed. His hope was now in God alone. Chew on that for a moment. How often in life do we set our hopes in people? It can even be a spouse to change our life. We can look to our parents to make our lives better. But the reality is, nobody can make your life better but God. And we all have to come to that place in life where we realize it's just us and God. And if he sends somebody to help us, that's good. And oftentimes he does. But sometimes he doesn't. Amen? And we just have to go to him ourselves. Amen? I've always taught my kids, as they progress from elementary school to middle school to high school to college, that the number of students will increase along with the number of temptations. I've told my sons that 30 years from now, you'll likely be able to count the number of true friends from school days on one hand, maybe two. But the rest who are in school with you are just, they're ghosts. There are people competing with you for the best test scores, the best spot on a team, the best jobs when you graduate. If you focus on them, you will likely experience pain, heartache, failure, and mediocrity. But if you can see yourself as a child of the King who has plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11, if you can put popularity in the crowds out of your mind and focus on God and His purpose for your life, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You will be successful beyond your wildest imagination. Easy to say, hard to do. It is human nature to want to be accepted, to want to fit in, to want to be popular. It's human. We want to fit in, we want to be popular. Nobody likes rejection. But if they did it to Yeshua, they're going to do it to you, friend. Holding it together in these last days. Perhaps another way of saying what I just told you is that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are strangers on a journey where we never quite fit in anywhere.
That is the plight of the true disciple of the Messiah. So how do we hold it together when confronted with dual-income families, meals on the run, 40% of Americans unable to cover a $400 emergency with cash, according to the Federal Reserve Survey? According to a CNBC survey, only 39% of American households have enough savings to cover a $1,000 emergency. Only 39% of American households have $1,000 for an emergency. And we are the wealthiest nation on the planet. People are stressed, tired, overtaxed, and largely underpaid. Costs are rising, and unless you're wealthy, it's nasty out there. The average low-wage worker cannot afford a car anymore. I know that from being a boss running a restaurant. And the average used car no longer costs $400 to $1,000 like it did 15 years ago, but more like $4,900 to $19,000. Life is hard here in the USA. In 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, David had made a mistake, and it nearly cost him his life. He left the women and children at Ziklag and took the men off to fight Saul with the Philistines. However, the Philistines sent David and his men back, fearing that David might side with Saul against the Philistines. And David and his men, when they came back to Ziklag, discovered the Amalekites had raided the camp and taken the women and children. And they had taken the women and children, taken all their belongings. The people wanted to kill David. We are told that David encouraged himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How? Well, the great psalmist and worshiper, David, surely praised his way to victory, Aja. He surely called on those scriptures, many of which he wrote, and relied on the word of God to deliver him from death. And he did. In 2 Corinthians, Paul speaks brilliantly of great suffering and personal trauma for the sake of the gospel, but gives us hope that carried him and his companions through nearly death itself. Friend, I ask you, have you served the Lord to the point of despairing even of life itself? Have you shed blood for the gospel? Raise your hand. Has anybody here shed blood for the gospel? Have you ever served God to the point that you despaired even of life itself? Amen. One hand. Thank you, sir. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Paul did. Paul and his companions. They we're going to read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Messiah Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the congregation of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Messiah are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Messiah. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such a great peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joined and helping us through your prayers. People ask me, I see so many people, they're so stoic, Christians. They won't share their burdens with one to another. The Bible tells us, share your burdens one to another. If you're, you have sickness, you have need of prayer, share your burdens. That's what the Bible says. But I meet so many people that are stoic. They're too proud. They're too private to share their burdens. But it says, Paul says here, he praises them. He says, you all, he says, to praises God who delivered us from such a great peril of death, and you also joined in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given to many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. Amen. How many of you have been healed? How many of you have been set free? Surely God is the healer, but we all pray. We pray for one another. Amen? Amen? We pray for one another, and that's part of it, Paul said. Amen. Okay. For as many are promises of God, and him they are yes. God's promises are yes and amen. Now he who establishes us with you in Messiah and anointed us in God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. But I call as God to witness my soul that to spare you I did not come again to Corinth, so that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for joy, for in your faith you are standing firm. I'm just reading a few verses from this. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, Paul said, but in some degree in order not to say much to all of you, sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority. Somebody was punished for their bad behavior. And Paul's talking about it. He says, if any has caused sorrow to the congregation, he says, not me, but in some degree, in order not to say much to all of you, sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort that person. Otherwise, such a one might be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So he's saying, don't punish them forever. Forgive them and let them back in. Amen? Or their sorrow might send them away forever. Amen? But punishment is something you see very little of in the body. And it's a pastor's job, it's a rabbi's job to bring discipline. But a rabbi, in order for him to bring discipline, he needs to know that something's going on. Now, years back, I had a man who, I had several men involved in pornography. Okay? And one man, now, when somebody, I'd catch them in pornography or they'd confess it, in grace, I would give them months to deal with it. It's maybe 6 months, maybe 9 months. And I would pray for them to be delivered from pornography. One man had a computer and he was doing it in his room. And my suggestion to him was, take that computer in the second floor and throw it out the window in your backyard. That'll help your pornography problem. Just take that computer and toss it out the window. But he didn't listen. And so a deacon that we had back then, he went over to the man's house and went in and saw and found all this videos and magazines and things and took them. And unfortunately, I had to put the man out. He wouldn't stop with the pornography. I had to put him out of the congregation. I've had to do that more than once, even to a deacon one time. Had to put him out of the congregation. It's difficult. It's painful for me as a shepherd. It's painful for a shepherd to have to discipline a member of the congregation. But in some cases, and not long ago, there was a case where somebody was saying terrible things about leadership, and it went on for over a year, and I suspected it. And it caused us to lose about 10 people in our congregation And it took me about a year to find out because nobody told me. Nobody told me. And I said this before. If you let a little brush fire turn into a forest fire, you can't. It's very hard to put it out. Amen? If you let a little brush fire turn into a forest fire, it's very difficult to put it out. That's why when leadership seeks answers about problems in a congregation, it's important to be truthful. And as if you're involved in something, it's important to say so. Because if a leader, he has to know what's going on if he's to deal with things. That's his job. My job is to protect the flock. And I can't do it without people's help. Amen? Good preaching, Rabbi. All right, 2 Corinthians. Paul. So let's read on. Now Paul goes on and he says, "Now when I was in Troas for the gospel of Messiah, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit." How is a door open for you in ministry? How are doors opened in ministry? I'm going to give you a hint. When you see a niche, okay, so in 2003, I saw a ministry to the poor in Israel, and it was struggling. And God laid it on my heart to help them raise money, to raise money for this struggling ministry to the poor, whose building was in a cow pasture in the middle of nowhere in Israel, really in a cow pasture. It stunk. It smelled. It was, you know, warm weather there. If you've ever been in a cow pasture, you ever go up north here in the spring, you know, up in the mountains and the fields, you smell it. And some people love that smell, and some people don't. Anyway, this building was in a cow pasture, and I saw, and they needed help, and I started raising money to help that ministry in Israel. I started raising funds for it. I saw a niche, and God gave me, once I saw the niche, God gave me the task of helping. Amen? So you might see a niche where, we need a greeter. You might see a niche in the congregation on the worship team and say, well, gee, I play an instrument or I sing. Maybe I could serve. Maybe you see a niche as a teacher. You know, we have children. We lost several teachers. One moved away and she hurt her foot and was out for a year. Another one passed away. And my wife had to go back to work. And we lost all of our children's teachers. And so... You know, that's a niche. Amen? So somebody, but you have to see it. You have to see that niche and say, I'm willing to step up and help out where you can, where you see the niche. Amen? So, praise God. That's how ministry is. That's how you grow in ministry. Is you see a niche, and you fill it. Amen. It can be in the kitchen. It can be on the praise team. It can be with the sound, helping Carol back there. Somebody wants Carol can certainly use help. You know, somebody. But before you go and do it, it's always best to talk to leadership and get approval. You know, check with the shepherd, make sure it's okay. Usually, very few cases am I going to say no. I'm not going to put a convicted. I've had child molester in the congregation, and had to ask him to leave because we had kids. And a parent came to me years ago, several years ago, and said, "I won't bring my kids." With a convicted child molester in the congregation, and I had to put the man out because of that, because this man had children, and so I can't say yes to everybody and everything, but I'll do the best I can. Okay. Folks, we have a glorious ministry. If we had a good covenant with Moses, if Moses, we studied Moses this morning, the story of Joseph, story of Abraham and Jacob, incredible stories, King David. I mean, these are the stories we grew up teaching our kids. They had a covenant with God, right? But we have a better covenant. Amen. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who has made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation of the Old Testament has glory, how much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory? For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. You know, there's a false teaching in my own faith, in the Messianic faith, where they teach, that the new covenant is the renewed covenant, that God renewed his covenant with Israel. But he didn't renew it. He says in Jeremiah 31:31, he says, "Behold, days are coming, saith the Lord, when I shall make a new covenant," not a renewed covenant, "with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Not another Moses covenant. He says, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with them in those days, and I will put my Torah, my law, within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." And that was the Jesus covenant that he was talking about. Two separate covenants. Amen? The Moses covenant and the Yeshua covenant. Two completely separate. So don't, if you've been confused by this renewed covenant teaching, it's baloney. One is Moses, the other is Yeshua. If you're in Yeshua, you're not under Moses. And you need to be set, you're free, and you need to learn what your freedom is. But also, you need to learn the boundaries, as I was talking earlier, of the sheep pen. Because it's not complete freedom to do whatever you want. It's, amen. All right, let's bring it home. So, therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But when a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since we have this ministry as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. What's this message? Holding it together under extreme pressure. How do we not lose heart? We have this ministry As we received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, and in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Messiah Yeshua as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Messiah. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Yeshua, so that the life of Yeshua also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Yeshua's sake, so that the life of Yeshua also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Brothers and sisters, what he's saying to us is, you have a better covenant. You are ministers of the gospel. Preach the gospel. Don't hold it back. Don't hide it. I showed you the letter about praying for the state of Tennessee. I showed you how I was acknowledged in a book, not to brag, but to say how God can use you in a person's life if you're willing to be used. If you would, like Isaiah said in chapter 6, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And when God called Abram, Abram said, "Here I am, Lord, hineni, send me." And he went, and God sent Abram. And God will send you. I don't care if you're 80 years old. God will send you if you just say, "Here I am, Lord. Whatever the need is, send me." God can use you. If God can use a woman who's 90 years old or a man who's 100 years old to bring forth the child of promise, then he can certainly use you and me. Amen? Praise God. You're never too old. All right. Let's bring it home. Verse 16. Sure, this is the end here. We all get worn out from time to time. We all need a rest. To compare ourselves to others, that is a big mistake. For when we take our eyes off the Lord, we tend to get negative, discouraged, even angry, and often very emotional. The key to enduring all affliction, even the toughest of times, we have not begun to see them here in the USA, is to rejoice in our sufferings. For Messiah, not self-made sufferings. We are to rejoice in our sufferings for the Messiah, not sufferings that we've made ourselves. Amen? We must encourage ourselves constantly in the Word and in prayer. Read your Bible. Spend an hour. Do something we seldom do anymore with Netflix and with video games and Facebook and all that stuff. Some nod their head, but millions are doing it. Billions. I think a generation is going to be walking around 25 years like this. Bumping into each other. We must encourage ourselves constantly in the Word and in prayer and praise, and not look at the world around us. I say this to myself. 2 Corinthians 4:16. "Therefore we do not lose heart, but through our outer man, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Well, we look not at the things which are seen. Remember I talked about in school where you're in high school and there's 1,000 students around you all vying for the best spot on the team or the best grades or the best college. They're just ghosts. Some of them are your friends, but most of them you have nothing to do with. How many of you can remember the names of 5 people you went to high school with? 10. How many can remember the names of 10 people that you went to high school with right off the bat? Raise your hand if you can. I'll be impressed. I can't even remember anybody, 2-3 people I went to college with. They're ghosts. They have no impact in my life except to and I wasn't a Christian or a messianic. All they did was bring me down, bring me to bars, bring me to drink alcohol, and do things I shouldn't do. That's what they did for me. I don't support those institutions. Amen? 2 Corinthians, this is my last scripture I'm going to read. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but through our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Folks, we must look to God. We must look to the Lord. We're strangers in a strange land, and we're never going to fit into this world. We're never going to fit in anywhere. Wherever we go, we're going to be strangers. And if we're truly of God, we'll even be strangers in church or synagogue. Those who are truly of the Lord are going to be strangers because so many go with the crowd. Amen? And we must be of those who don't run with the crowd. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop looking at the world and look to Yeshua. Most people you see are, as I said, are ghosts passing through your life like cars in a traffic jam, never to be seen again. I do not mean to be crass, but it's true. God puts people in our path to minister to. God puts us together as spiritual family and covenant, just like earthly families. We will not always get along. But we must forgive those we are in covenant with, just as we should forgive our parents and siblings for wrongs done to us. Remember, if you're a bondservant of Messiah, you do not serve man, you serve God. Therefore, why do you seek approval from men? Matthew 6:1-4. It is an honor to serve God that should be reward enough for us. Matthew tells us, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing or what you're giving. Don't let it, so that your Father in heaven will see and reward you. It is an honor to serve God. That should be reward enough for us. Check your hearts for grudges. If you carry one longer than 2 or 3 months, I'd say you have a serious problem. Perhaps you've made mistakes in your life that you can't correct. You married the wrong person. You were not ready to be a parent. Why do you blame God? If we messed up our lives or failed to see our dreams come to pass, I find it usually it's our own fault. We've made bad choices. Maybe you had an abortion. Maybe you, you took IV drugs. You know, or maybe you sold drugs. Whatever it is, you made a bad choice. But God can turn it around. Amen? But you have to let Him. Don't blame Him. Let Him fix it. If we've messed up our lives or failed to see our dreams come to pass, I find it's usually our own fault. Blind spots will keep us locked in bondage. Adjust your rearview mirror. Purpose to learn to see things differently. Your dreams can still come true, friend, with God. All things are possible. But if we keep on doing what we've always done, we shall continue to get what we've always gotten. Please rise. I want to bless you. Now, I'm just going to say one quick word on Iran. 4 years ago, I wrote this article. I preached three sermons in February of 2016, not to be political, based on Daniel 8, based on a revelation that I got that Donald Trump was going to be the 45th president of the United States. This was 9 months before he became elected. That he would be hated by many. That the economy would take off when he became president. It's all in this. That he would destroy ISIS. That he would destroy Iran, his military, government, and their nuclear weapons. And more. It's in this letter called The Last President of the United States. If you're watching, just message me, private message me. Give me your address and I'll send it to you. I'll send you a copy. If you'd like to order the original CDs for your love gift of $30, we'll send them to you. It's a four CD set. I'll send you the messages. Just contact our ministry, www.forzionsake.org. So what's going on with Iran? We just killed the second horn, I believe. The ram of Daniel 8 of Persia, and the angel Gabriel says that Daniel 8 is about the last days, the very end of days. The ram has two horns. One horn is the Ayatollah, the supreme leader. The other horn was this guy they just took out. He was Medo-Persia. He was in charge of Medea. Do you know where Medea was in ancient history? Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Kurdistan, that's pretty much it. Maybe Jordan and possibly Israel. But Medea was part of the Persian Empire. It was the second part. And this guy controlled the Median part. This guy Soleimani that they got, you know, he was part of the prophecy. Read Daniel 8. What's my point? I'm going to say it very quickly. The clock is ticking. The Daniel 8 clock is ticking. Time is short. This killing of this man, it means the beginning of the Daniel 8 prophecy with Iran has really begun. And the countdown, the final countdown for the United States, for Iran, has begun. And that's what I'm going to say today about it. We're not there. I don't think we're going to see war right now. We're not going to see war. I believe we've seen the beginning of it. And we will see war with Iran. We will destroy Iran. But not now. But the time is not long. Donald Trump may have 4 or 5 years at the most to complete the mission that God gave him in Daniel 8. Not that man gave him. The mission that God gave him. Amen? So, this newsletter is out on the table. Feel free to take it. They're free. Part 2 is out there. And if you want a copy, just send us, contact us, and we'll send you a copy of it. If you want the originals, you can get the CDs, four CDs for $30. We'll send them to you. That's my message. And now I'm going to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayesem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, forgive your enemies. And if you're angry, I've learned something in life that when people... One time I was passing gospel tracts out on Fifth Avenue in New York City, and I had a Jews for Jesus t-shirt. And a man in a business suit looked at me as he walked by, and he called me a foul name. But if I'd been wearing a suit and passing out brochures for trips to Italy with Venetian gondolas and rivers and, you know, Venetian rivers on the cover, canals, you think he would have cursed me? It wasn't me he was angry at. It was God. And oftentimes, when people seem to dislike you or hate you, it's not you they hate. It's God. And I really believe that's where the hate is toward Donald Trump. It's not, they loved him. He was the darling of so many on the left for so many years, for decades. And now he's hated. It's demonic. It's because it's not him they hate, it's God. The God he represents. Shabbat shalom. Greet one another. Welcome our visitors. And love you all. Thank you. And then share.